What's up, everybody? Welcome to this latest edition of Stephen A., Straight Shooter with Stephen A. It's not Wednesday night when I'm usually on POTUS Radio, Channel 124, on Sirius XM Radio, doing my political show, Straight Shooter with Stephen A. But this is leading into that. We've got a State of the Union address that the President Donald Trump is going to deliver tonight. We've got Democrats that are planning on protesting by not showing up, all of which I'm going to get into, but not before I lead into those subject matters by talking about the governor of California, Mr. Gavin Newsom, and the kind of hot water he's gotten himself into. He is the governor of California. He's been there for years, since 2018 to be exact, widely believed to have White House ambitions for 2028. But at this particular moment in time, he's facing blowback over a viral clip that critics say portrays him talking down to black voters while discussing his poor test scores and reading ability. This is while he was promoting his book, doing a sit-down interview with the mayor of Atlanta in front of a crowd in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm just reading here from a report where it's talking about him. It says, rather than me say what it says, let me show you what the controversy is all about. Watch the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, on a book tour promoting his book, sitting down being interviewed by the mayor of Atlanta. Take it away, guys.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. And I'm not trying to offend anyone, you know, trying to act all there if you got 960. 40. But literally a 960 SAT guy. I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech. Maybe the wrong business to be in.
Needless to say, he's in hot water for that. And there have been a lot of folks on the left that have come to the defense of Gavin Newsom. And they've come to his defense because obviously they think that he was being a bit insulting to black folks and black excellence. And when he used the word y'all, he was talking about us as opposed to the inordinate amount of white folks that was in the audience, which I'll get into in just a second. But needless to say, there were folks, particularly on the right, who pounced on that. Like my buddy Sean Hannity, he tweets at Gavin Newsom, thinks a 960 SAT score makes him, quote, like black Americans. Let that sink in. That was Sean Hannity. Needless to say, Gavin Newsom wasn't going to sit that taken down because he's been going back and forth with Sean Hannity for quite a while. And look at what he says in response to Sean Hannity's tweet. Quote, you didn't give a shit about the president of the United States of America posting an 8 video of President Obama or calling African nations shitholes, but you're going to call me racist for talking about my lifelong struggle with dyslexia. Spare me your fake fucking outrage, Sean. End quote. Gavin Newsom's tweet. It's only apropos that we hear from the mayor of Atlanta, who obviously was sitting down talking with Gavin Newsom, and Gavin Newsom was talking directly to Mayor Andre Dickens, the mayor of Atlanta. And the mayor of Atlanta felt it was appropriate to issue a statement, and he most certainly did by saying, quote, take it from someone who was actually in the chair asking the questions. Context matters more than a headline. The conversation around his new book included him speaking about his own academic struggles, including not doing well on the SAT. That wasn't an attack on anyone. It was a moment of vulnerability about his own journey. We've gotten so used to loud chest-pounding politics that when someone speaks about shortcomings, people try to twist it into something else. Let me be clear, though. This is Atlanta. We don't need anyone to tell us when to be offended. And history has shown, when we are, you'll know. If you want the full context, watch the full clip, read the book, and engage the complete conversation. Couple of things to point out here. Number one, to Mayor Dickens, respectfully, you know most people are not going to do that. You know most people are not going to sit around and see the clip and just go and read the book. You know that nuance, a lot of times, more often than not, is not taken into consideration. You know things are not contextualized properly. You know that as an elected official. Having said all of that, that's not to cast any aspersions on you as a mayor. Obviously, you're a very accomplished individual. You're leading the city of Atlanta, some would say in a very admirable fashion, and I'm not here to throw aspersions in your direction. And I'm quite sure you probably got hired in a 960 on your SAT, which I can most assuredly tell y'all I didn't. I don't even remember my score, and I don't want to remember my score because I wasn't studying. I didn't give a damn. I was too busy trying to survive in the streets of America, and I, too, was born with dyslexia. So I can certainly relate to where the governor is coming from, and I can assure you my score was, in all likelihood, considerably less than what the hell he got. Thank God I was able to overcome it, and I'm in the position that I'm in now. But that's neither here nor there. It's a couple of ways to look at this, and I think it's very, very important that we do that on this particular day, okay? We need to understand that there's an abundance of people on both sides of the equation that are coming at him. Take, for example, what Nicki Minaj had to say. Let's see and show, rather, what she had to say about Gavin Newsom. Take a look at this right here. His way of bonding with black people is to tell them how stupid he is and that he can't read. This means my first read on him was correct. He's been handed so many things and put in high positions he never earned or deserved. Do you want to know the craziest part of this footage that will haunt him forever? He's literally slowing his speech down and talking in a sporadic cadence. He's not just telling them that they're all probably stupid and probably can't read. He's literally slowing down his speech to make them understand the words that are coming out of his mouth as if they're children. That means he really believes they're slow. He's not just saying it. He didn't misspeak. He believes it. Do y'all love it? Do y'all just love it, black people? Question mark. I would say to Nicki Minaj, be a bit sensitive to the rest of us, please. Respectfully. I mean, the reality of the situation is some people can look at it and on one hand, you can look at Gavin Newsom and say, you're damn right he meant that towards black people because he did say y'all as he was looking at Mayor Dickens. Okay? But I was watching Roland Martin Unfiltered, a clip from him where he was talking about footage that was put out there by Mark Lamont Hill showing that there were an abundance of people entering, whether it was the auditorium, wherever it was, and it was a bunch of people, and most happened to be white. So indeed, he wasn't directing his comments at black people. He was directing it towards the audience, which was filled with white people, and that's what they saw. I saw him looking at Mayor Dickens when he said it and him uttering the word y'all. But the bottom line is that clearly there's plausible deniability on the part of Gavin Newsom, and you can choose to take him at his word and not absorb the notion that he was intentionally insulting. Or you could sit up there and say, that's how he feels about black people. The real problem is, it's along party lines how you feel. Because what I can't help but find myself asking is that would folks have been as receptive, folks on the left that I'm talking about, would they have been as receptive to understanding and displaying grace over what Gavin Newsom said if those words came out of the mouth of a Republican or a member of the GOP? Would you have been as understanding? See, this is the problem where I constantly have to remind y'all I'm a registered independent, that I don't take sides. I go on a case-by-case basis, precisely for stuff like this. I shouldn't say precisely, but for the most part, for stuff that falls along these lines. That's exactly why I do it. Because, you see, I wouldn't have to ask that question if we engaged in a level of fairness, no matter who we were talking about. But that's not what we do. What we do instead is we politicize it because if you're on the left, you're going to try to support them. If you're on the right, you're going to try to engage in a level of condemnation to sort of cut them off as the knees by saying to folks on the left, that's who's going to be your Democratic nominee for 2028. You sure you want that? Please let him go. We'll have a field day with him. We don't even have to get to homelessness, the economy, safety in the streets, immigration issues, it being a sanctuary city or state in Los Angeles or the state of California. We don't even have to go through all of that. We could just go right here. That's what folks are going to do. Because it gets politicized, and then all of a sudden, you see people going out of their way who otherwise wouldn't be as understanding if it was coming from the other side. But because it's coming from somebody on their side, they're supportive of them. And they're going out of their way to understand them. Me personally, I've met Gavin Newsom once. I've texted back and forth with him over the last year. I'm willing to give the man the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, he wasn't talking about us because there's black excellence all over this nation and all over this world. Pick a genre. Pick an industry. Pick a professional career. Where do black people not excel? We excel in law. We have a black Supreme Court justice. We've had a black president. We have black men and women leading every single day. We personify excellence. Religiously and continuously, when we talk about things that have been invented, things that have been creative, when we talk about innovation, when we talk about curation, when we talk about all of these things, black people are everywhere. So no matter what anybody tries to think, you don't have the facts to support you as it pertains to the excellence and the capabilities of black people. Period. Since the beginning of time to now and every place in between. It could be civil rights. It could be corporate America. It could be law. It could be accounting. It could be finance. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It could be medicine. Wherever it is, black excellence is black excellence. We are unstoppable as a people. Our intestinal resolve is not here to be questioned. So whether somebody feels that way or not, as a politician, hey, if that's how they feel, they'll get exposed. But in the end, you're going to have to deal with us. And Gavin Newsom isn't the first Democrat or isn't the first politician to come out of his mouth saying something that folks could potentially find offensive. I believe it was unintentional. I don't believe he meant it the way people were saying it. I'm going to show him grace and give him the benefit of the doubt. But you know, one of the reasons why I must be willing to admit that I'm inclined to do so? Because if you're not qualified to be the Democratic nominee for the presidency of the United States of America, I don't want that to be the reason. I want it to be because your plan ain't good enough. Because your vision for America ain't good enough. Because your record as California governor shows that you can't lead a nation. I want that to be the reason. Not because we want to use this as an excuse to call him a racist. That's not the man I met. That's not the man I've been communicating with over text. That's not the man that has been governing the state of California and speaking out against Trump and other elected officials on the right. That's not what I'm getting. I don't want to think that. I will openly confess to you. I don't want to think that about him. I don't want to think that he was looking at Mayor Dickens and would have that in his mind and in his heart. I don't want to believe that. I want to judge him on his record. But I want us to do the same with everybody across the board. Everybody. Because, you know, as we sit here, and we get ready to watch the State of the Union address tonight in prime time. According to the reports, there will not be some Democrats in attendance. Headline in the Wall Street Journal today, Democrats' latest anti-Trump tactic, skipping the State of the Union address. Some 50 Democratic members of the House and Senate plan to forego annual speech, an unusual rebuke of a sitting president. And it talks about how dozens of congressional Democrats are preparing to skip President Trump's State of the Union address Tuesday night in an unusual rebuke. At least roughly 50 Democratic members of the House and Senate plan to forego the speech. And they talked about that. This year, Democrats are trying to put forward a more coherent and aggressive rebuttal. Why? Because they weren't satisfied with what transpired last year, when Democratic Representative Al Green of Texas was removed from the chamber after heckling President Trump, and other Democrats waved paddle-shaped protest signs that were seen as ineffective. I'll use the word embarrassing, because it was. It was completely non-effective, and it was embarrassing, and they looked like children. It really, really looked bad. Okay? But this year is supposed to be different, because the Democrats have come up with a different strategy, trying to put forward a more coherent and aggressive rebuttal. Strategy risks highlighting the divisions between progressives who are more willing to protest the president's actions and centrists that have impeded the party from presenting a united alternative to Trump and his MAGA coalition. Counter-programming events in addition to official responses from Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger and Senator Alex Padilla of California could muddle the overall message, according to numerous reports. Here's something that I wanted y'all to pay attention to. Joel Payne, I'm reading from the Wall Street Journal, spokesman for Move On, a liberal group, said this year's response is expected to be, quote, the largest and most coordinated in the modern era, end quote, after learning from last year's protests on the floor. About 30 House and Senate members are slated to attend an event at the National Mall organized by liberal group Move On Progressive Action, where lawmakers are expected to speak alongside their guests who have been affected by Trump's policies, okay? Miles Taylor, co-founder of Defiance.org, an anti-Trump group, is co-hosting State of the Swamp, one of the counter-programming events at the National Press Club. Taylor said at least a dozen Democratic lawmakers and roughly 500 guests overall are expected to attend the event, where Trump's speech will play on mute, with closed captions and their speakers, which include Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey and journalist Don Lemon, will speak in front of it. As an aside, let me say this. Maybe Don Lemon will listen. Maybe he feels that I've shitted on him and he won't want to listen. I didn't want the man arrested. I don't want him in jail. I just didn't think it was wise for him to go into the church. Respectfully, as an aside, just a question. I may not have the right answer, but those close to Don Lemon, along with Don Lemon himself, I would ask this question. Since you've already been arrested and the Trump administration via the Department of Justice and whatever arm of the law is under them is clearly coming after you, and they're trying to say that you were pretty much a protester who crossed the line as opposed to a working journalist, are you sure it's wise for you to be speaking at tonight's event? It's just a question. If you're trying to say you were not a protester, but indeed you were a journalist working. I know it's at the National Press Club. I get that part. But if it's an anti-Trump organized event, are you sure it's wise for you to be speaking tonight? I'm just wondering, because I don't want you to get arrested again. Well, I don't want you giving them more proof, more evidence to throw you behind bars for a significant period of time. That's just an aside. Getting back to Trump and the State of the Union and the Democrats, I've been on the record stating I don't think it's wise for them to do that. Maybe it's too strong to say it's Bush League, but he's the president of the United States. You have to work with Republicans on the Hill. They're the ones in power. The midterms have not arrived yet. It doesn't arrive until November. You've got work to do. Are you sure it's wise when it comes to President Trump and the people who are on his side of the aisle, who don't officially, quote unquote, answer to him, but as we have seen, are compelled to do so? Are you sure it's wise to take this course of action? Is that going to get things done for Democratic voters out there who you represent? It's a question. Because I'm not seeing it. I'm truly not. And as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong with sitting in the chamber in silence and listening to what he has to say, especially when you got a guy like Fareed Zakaria pointing out this, not about the Republicans, but about the Democrats. Show this, please. Reed Sicaria, just this past weekend, blue cities are out of control, promising more, spending more, delivering less, and pushing off fiscal problems to some future day. Democrats in city halls should stop governing as if the goal is to announce new entitlements and instead make government work. I am a huge fan of Fareed Zakaria. He is as down the middle as they come, as far as I'm concerned. And that tweet that he put out there is incredibly profound because it makes sense. It's about making government. And when I say this to anybody, any member of Congress, any member of the Senate, I'm simply saying, whether you like it or not, if the cards are dealt where 77 million people vote for a particular candidate and it outnumbered the amount of people that voted for your side of the aisle, you have an inherent obligation to try to work with that person, no matter how abhorrent, disgusting, or juvenile they may be. You have an inherent obligation to try to get something out of it for your constituency while that person is in office, while that party is in office or in power, since they got the Senate, the House, and the White House. You have that obligation. And in doing so, you got to make sure you're ready for the call. Unfortunately, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democratic rep out of the Bronx, New York, did not help herself in that cause, which is why you haven't seen much of her over the last week or so, because she went to Munich as a rising star within the Democratic Party, astute and on point about the issues pertinent to the United States of America. And on center stage, they got this clip of her to run into perpetuity. Take a look.
Would and should the U.S. actually commit U.S. troops to defend Taiwan if China were to move?
I think that this is such a, I think that this is a, this is, of course, a very longstanding policy of the United States. And I think what we are hoping for is that we want to make sure that we never get to that point. And we want to make sure that we are moving in all of our economic research and our global positions to avoid any such confrontation and for that question to even arise.
Oh, my God. That's just embarrassing. That's just embarrassing. It's not like they pulled her off the streets in the Bronx and or jumped in front of her face and stuck a camera to her while she was strolling down Webster Avenue in New York. You flew across the ocean to show up at a conference to discuss foreign affairs. You didn't even say China's a communist country. Taiwan is democratic. They operate independently, and we don't mind giving them defense weapons, and we'll continue to do so. You didn't say anything like that. Nothing. Nothing. She looked lost. I'm not saying she is lost. I'm not questioning her intelligence. I'm saying that clip is bad. And the only thing AOC has going for her today, based off of that clip that they will hold on to forever, is this one with Senator Hawley, a Republican, questioning a Dr. Verma, who was a scientist, clearly supported by the Democratic Party, clearly having Democratic views. She's on the other side of the aisle, that had the audacity to show up to Capitol Hill and look like this, making AOC look a gazillion times better than this right here.
Dr. Verma, I wasn't sure I understood your answer to Senator Moody a moment ago. Do you think that men can get pregnant?
I hesitated there because I wasn't sure where the conversation was going or what the goal was. I mean, I do take care of patients with different identities. I take care of many women. I take care of people with different identities. And so that's where I paused. I think, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Well, the goal is just the truth. So can men get pregnant?
Again, the reason I paused there is I'm not really sure what the goal of the question.
The goal is just to establish a biological reality. You just said a moment ago that science and evidence should control, not politics. Absolutely. So let's just test that proposition. Can men get pregnant?
I take care of people with many identities, but
can men get pregnant?
I take care of many women that can get pregnant. I do take care of people that don't identify as women. That
can men get pregnant?
Again, as I'm saying,
let me just remind you what you testified to a moment ago. Science and evidence should control, not politics. Can men get pregnant? You're
a
doctor, I think.
I agree. Science and evidence should guide medicine.
Do science and evidence tell us that men can get pregnant? Biological men, can they get pregnant?
I also think yes, no questions like this are a political tool.
No, yes, no questions are about the truth, doctor. Let's not make a mockery of this proceeding. This is about science and evidence, and I'm asking you. You know, the United States Supreme Court just heard arguments yesterday at great length on this question. This is not a hypothetical question. This is not theoretical. It affects real people in their real lives. And you're here as an expert, called by the other side as an expert, and you've been telling us that you follow, right, you're a doctor, and you follow the science and the evidence. So I just want to know, based on the science, can men get pregnant? That's a yes or no question. It really is, I think.
I think you're trying to reduce the complexity of a lot.
I'm not. I'm trying to get, it's not complex. I'm trying to get to an answer, and I'm trying to test, frankly, your veracity as a medical professional and as a scientist. Can men get pregnant?
I think you're also conflating male.
This is extraordinary.
Oh,
no, I'm not conflating male and female. They're two different things. There's biological men and there's biological women. And I want to know, can men get pregnant?
A scientist that refused to confirm a scientific fact because she was on Capitol Hill. Fearful of telling the truth to a sitting senator who had every right to question her the way he did. Senator Hawley was flawless in that back and forth. So the one thing that AOC has going for her today is that she didn't look like that woman, that doctor right there. Period. But that's about the only thing. Because the president obviously chimed in on AOC and her performance and said, quote, her performance was horrible. I was surprised, actually. I didn't know she was stupid. That is not kind. That is classless. That is unnecessary for the president of the United States to be saying out of his mouth. It's just that kind of classless stuff that why he doesn't belong in that chair, because he's not going to galvanize folks and bring folks together. All he's going to do is contribute to the chaos. You don't have to call her names. All right. We all saw the video. You don't have to do that. But that's the classlessness. Here was Vice President J.D. Vance. It was the most uncomfortable 20 seconds of television I have ever seen. It's a person who doesn't know what she actually thinks. And I've seen this way too much in Washington with politicians where they are given lines. And when you ask them to go outside the lines they were given, they completely fall apart. That's more respectful. You can dislike what Vice President J.D. Vance had to say there, but that's within the lines of decorum and decency while still addressing directly how lost AOC looked. In the end, what it comes down to is this. We have a situation right now where Gavin Newsom, in all likelihood, could potentially be a leading candidate for the Democratic nomination for the presidency of the United States of America. I'm going to lean on the side that Roland Martin, Mark Lamont Hill, that attorney out of D.C., Scott Bolton, who I've known for years, a good brother, really, really smart, high intellect, really good guy. I'm going to lean on their side by saying there were an abundance of white people in the audience and Gavin Newsom was probably talking to them, even though Gavin Newsom did say y'all while looking directly at Mayor Dickens. And I'm going to side with Mayor Dickens as well by giving Gavin Newsom the benefit of the doubt. But there's a bigger reason why than my feelings as to the veracity of what he's saying his intent was and saying what he said. It's that I don't want that to have a determining factor down the line as to whether or not this man is going to be a candidate for the presidency of the United States of America. I want it to be on policy because we got some problems in this country that we got to fix. And I want the American people to say Gavin Newsom ain't the one because of his policies, not because of this notion that he looks down on black people. That is not a provable situation to lean on. His record on immigration is. His record as a sanctuary city governor or sanctuary state governor does. His record on the economy is. His record on safety in the streets is. His record on homelessness is. His record on climate control is. All of those things. Let that be the judge. Let that be the judge. Just like we should judge whether it's J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio. What you bring it to the table. You talk a good game if you J.D. Vance as the vice president, but what are you really doing? Other than giving good speeches and looking far more cogent and lucid than some of our Democratic representatives. You Marco Rubio, the real deal, ladies and gentlemen, senator, national security advisor, secretary of state. You're going to have to deal with that man. He's an adult in the room that ain't trying to mimic Trump like J.D. Vance. You got to have a bona fide candidate to go up against that man if he is indeed the Republican nominee for the presidency of the United States in 2028. You got a midterm to win. And in the process of winning that midterm, people are going to be looking at the Democratic Party and say, are you truly, truly worthy? Spanberger in Virginia. Obviously, she won. New governor in Mikey Sherrill, I'm sorry. New governor, New Jersey. Yeah, they're legit. But you also have the mayor of New York. Is he going to help you? Or is he going to hurt you? Take a look at this.
Due to the historic nature of this blizzard, we've increased pay to $30 an hour. And you can walk into any sanitation garage until 8 p.m. this evening and starting again from 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. All you need to bring is two forms of ID to ensure you get paid. So grab a shovel, bundle up, and be part of getting our city back in business as you help us clear snow off crosswalks, bus stops, and fire hydrants.
So let me get this straight. I need ID. If I'm a person in New York who wants to get anywhere from $19 to $30 an hour to shovel snow, I need two forms of ID. But Democrats are arguing on Capitol Hill, why should you need ID to vote? Make it make sense. These are the issues we should be talking about. These are the discrepancies we should be pointing out. These are the hiccups that we should be bloviating about. Because I got news for you. If indeed it is true that there's some white politician that looks down on black people, is that really a surprise? You think black folks don't think that folks be looking down on us regardless of what we achieve? No matter how high-end achievers we are, no matter what we pull off, no matter what level of excellence we put on display, we are always shortchanged. There's a reason why on this show and on the airwaves over the last 30 years, I have always said, when white folks catch a cold, black folks catch pneumonia. It's always worse for us. We're always scratching and clawing and climbing our way uphill. It's the way of the world. That ain't new. And the reason why I don't want something like this derailing a Gavin Newsom is because I don't want the impression to be given that is happening on one side of the aisle when, in my opinion, it happens everywhere. Not as much as it used to, perhaps. And not to say it happens in the majority, where the vast majority of white Americans don't respect their black counterparts. But we all know that racism and prejudice has not completely been eviscerated and eradicated from our society. That is not new. And if we're going to sit up there and hold somebody, the likes of a Gavin Newsom, accountable, make it count. Make it so it's undeniable and indefensible and inexcusable. Like along the lines of what Gavin Newsom pointed out about President Trump and going back at Sean Hannity when he sat up there and said, yo, the president defaced our former president and first lady of the United States of America. Incredibly insulting. Superimposing apes on them as their imagery, having us doing one of the most racist things you could possibly do, and then blaming it on an unnamed staffer. Something that blatant is inexcusable, indefensible. Ain't no getting around it. It's just that he's the president, you can't fire him for it. Especially since he's in his last term in office, so he ain't running for re-election. This Gavin Newsom thing, it's shaky, it's suspicious. You can sit up there and say, that's bullshit. He meant that about us. But you have others within the Democratic Party who happen to be black who says, hey, there were an abundance of white people in the audience, and that's who he was talking to. He did have dyslexia. It was a challenge for him. And that's that. Okay. So be it. Let's judge them on the real issues. Let's judge them on the issues that count. Let's judge them all on the issues that count. Because in the end, and I'll close by saying this, this has always been my dream. I hate the fact that Black America as a community has disenfranchised ourselves. We so flagrantly support one side of the aisle that it gives them a license to take us for granted. It's given the other side a license to ignore our concerns. And we're the ones left devoid of representation. I have always been of the mindset that I want an equal and level playing field from both sides of the aisle so we can get to look at what you have to offer our community and decide definitively what you bring to the table for us as a community. And jumping on stuff like this is fodder for us to move out, potentially, the better candidates we may have available for us to somebody that's we can more easily stomach because they said the right things, as opposed to them showing a true capability of being able to do the right things for our community. That's where I'm coming from. That's where I want us all to come from. And that is all I have to say. Until tomorrow night, Straight Shooter with Stephen A. at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Over the airwaves of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124. See y'all then. Peace and love.